Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero of the Tour Coach Podcast. Recently, I was invited once again up to the Gurus of Golf, which is an unbelievable experience and an unbelievable event hosted by Rob Akins, one of the great teachers in the game. And all of that is done to raise money for Le Bonheur Children's Hospital up in Memphis. It's an amazing day and an amazing event. This year, Rob wanted to do something a little different, and on the evening before, have some of the great names in teaching and coaching that are part of this. The Randy Smiths, the Chuck Cooks, could go on and on. Tom Ness, who recently left us, used to come to this event. But Rob, realizing that as we all get older, there's this great generation of teachers that we should take advantage of and share some of their insights and their stories. And Rob did just that. And we've put this together, and we're going to share them with you also. So sit back, relax, and if you love golf instruction and you want to learn, you're going to love these collections of interviews and stories with Rob Akins from the Gurus of Golf in Memphis, Tennessee.
Go ahead, you're on.
Hey, it's Rob Akins in Memphis, Tennessee, the Gurus of Golf. We've been doing this event for 16 years, and I'm kind of remiss that we haven't done this in the past, but I'm so excited to be able to share with you the group of talented people that are in the room tonight to be able to share their wisdom about the game of golf. And with me right now is Chuck Cook, a dear friend of mine, as well as Todd Soames, a dear friend of mine. And they both have two different perspectives. We grew up in a little different era. And I'd really love for y'all to find out how golf's going to change. So I'm going to start with you and just ask, you know, you've been teaching for a long time. You had so many people win so many different majors, different swings, different styles. The game's changing so fast. What do you feel like has been the biggest thing that's changed in golf instruction?
Well, you know, when Harry Barton was my caddy, you know, we thought a lot differently than they then. Than
the great ghost. But
anyway, golf instruction has changed dramatically. When I started teaching golf in 1974, so that's been a long time. And I went to work for Golf Digest Schools. Had a chance to teach with the best teachers in the world at the time and travel the world teaching golf. And,
right.
Learned how to teach a lot from learning from each of those guys. So anyway, back in the 70s and the 80s, and Bart Brooks can tell me about some of this. So, you know, the game was totally different. It was played with different equipment.
Right.
The equipment made the biggest difference. The ball was different. The clubs were different. The swings had to be different because of the fact that they had to match the equipment that was being used at the
time. Right.
And so there were generations. When in 1980, I started a golf academy in Austin, and I wanted at that time I wanted to do something that based on fact instead of theory. And so I hired a biomechanical engineer.
The way to actually measure.
Where you can actually measure. I hired Ralph Mann, a biomechanical engineer, to help us with that. Then I hired Dick Koop, an educational psychologist, to help us know how to teach, how to get the message across. I hired Al Vermeil, who was the strength coach for the 49ers at the time, later the Chicago Bulls when Jordan was there, and the White Sox for our fitness, golf fitness. And then we hired Dave Pels to do our short game. So we had this big group of knowledgeable people in different areas like that, and allowed us to really start progressing based on fact instead of theory. And it was a tremendous jump for me and my learning. And so as time went on through the 90s and so forth, the big change to modern golf now happened in 2000. And that was when the ball changed. And so when the ball changed.
I thought it was the groove, first thing, because the groove allowed them to change the ball. But before they had the groove, they kind of had to use that wad ball because they couldn't, it was a flyer every time. But then once they changed the groove, it was like, now they really changed the ball.
Well, but they outlawed the groove too, you know, after that. But
right.
So anyway, so what happened in when the ball wouldn't curve as much, went straighter, then distance became a lot higher priority in the game of golf. And so everything had to change to accommodate that.
Right.
And so first of all, the guys that grew up in there, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thompson, those guys that were growing up in that, all of a sudden realized distance was the big deal. So they started swinging hard, and so the equipment then was designed to help them do that. So the heads were bigger, the lighter, the shafts were lighter and longer. And it allowed people to not be as careful with their swings and guiding balls, which is
right.
It's like that. And so what happened was, it used to be when guys would come into the ball with the old equipment, say when the club was parallel to the ground before impact, is they would square the club with their hands. And what happened after that, when distance became such an important part, what happened was guys came in and they lag the club a little bit deeper, and then they would make their hands go in and left in order to square that shaft, which created this influx of speed. And so it was like a snap that got the
almost like a motorboat.
Yeah, like a motorboat going around like that. And then after that happened, I mean, the guys that the teachers that taught distance, you know, were having the most success, you know, back then. And so then what happened after that was the players started saying, well, you know, I'm swinging as hard as I can. I've got my clubs dialed in. I got the best clubs for me for distance and so forth. They said, now, but this guy's still outdriving me, so I got to work out. So then they started working out. They
got stronger. Got stronger.
They got stronger, faster. And all of this stuff was tailored to be specific to golf, which was different. You know, people worked out before, but they didn't work out for golf.
Yeah,
in the right way for golf.
Right.
People had golf equipment fitted for them, but it wasn't fitted for speed. It wasn't fitted for optimal impact conditions and so on and so forth, you know. And so all of this stuff got very specific, and golf changed like that. Instruction has changed to accommodate that, is what I would say.
Tell me what you think about this. I've always thought that when I was a kid growing up, we had steel shafts and we made clubs out of a certain material, and of course nobody knew a lot about lie angle, but we couldn't build a club to fit somebody that was 6'4". But the weight, the swing weight would just go off the charts. I mean, they didn't have anything. So I think not only do we get bigger or faster or stronger and we get better equipment, but the golfer now today is so much bigger than he was in 1960, 1970. So we've got a lot of guys that are way over 6 feet playing golf. And they couldn't have played in the 70s when I was growing up because we didn't have equipment that would fit them. So I think the graphite and the titanium and all that allowed us to have a whole different set of athletes that could now play golf. They didn't play golf because we couldn't fit them, 6 foot, six guys and stuff, but now we can, and that's changed the game.
Absolutely, 100%.
So, with me, Todd, we've been friends forever, and you've taught golf. We met years ago down in Florida. So you spent your whole life teaching golf, and I know you've taught the entire game of golf, and we all do. I mean, you have to be able to teach mentally and short game. There's so many facets to playing golf. But I know over the years, you've really spent a lot of time working on the short game. So tell me why that's kind of how you moved forward into what you're doing teaching.
You know, for me, I was in golf business like a lot of people. Started out as an assistant and ended up at, I was at Conway Farms. I was the director of golf there. And then 1997, I started my school. And it was a regional school, which is different than a destination school.
I got you.
And what I quickly learned is that if I didn't lower people's score, they weren't going to return.
Right.
And the business was not going to grow. And I had a really strong staff of teachers. And the bottom line is it was all about retainment for me. And business-wise, I didn't want to spend a lot of money on marketing. I wanted people to market for me.
Right.
And the bottom line is if you can lower someone's score, they'll come back. And they'll tell their friends.
And they'll tell their friends. Or their friends will see it and be pissed off and find out who they're seeing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so So basically, when you look at the average amateur golfer, like Chuck, that was awesome. Mainly talking about very good players and how the game developed for them. So if I take the country club player, and I look at the country club player, to me, the lowest hanging fruit for that those players typically is chipping and pitching.
Yeah, inside 50 yards.
Because, you know, putting obviously is, I spent a lot of time teaching putting, but I know right now that if I help people chip and pep in, pitch better, they're going to putt because they're going to putt from shorter distances.
Absolutely.
So I think chipping and pitching is really, really critical for people to score better. And it's frustrating too. You know, when someone gets down around the green and they start playing ping pong, you know, that's not a lot of fun. It's embarrassing. And when you can take that part of the game and make it better for people, then they're going to have a lot more fun playing golf. So I think that's what drove my short game. So I want people to score better.
It's really interesting. Everybody talks about short game and they talk about number of putts and all that stuff. But it really comes down to when you chip it 2 feet all the time, your putts go way down.
Yeah.
When you're chipping it 8, 10, 12 feet. And so they don't realize the putts on the tour. The real game changer is, yeah, they're great putting. But their best thing is that they chip the ball inside 4 feet every time. So that's so important. And most of the public don't realize that. They think, well, I'm not getting them down enough because they're not making these putts. They think they're supposed to make 10-footers. What would you say the average short player's percentage from 10 feet is, you know?
What is it? It's like 60% from 10 feet, right?
No.
50 from 8 feet.
Yeah, that's right. 50 from 8 feet.
So
it's down to like 34% from 10 feet.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like in the world the people I'm trying to help, getting and chipping the ball and pitching the ball within 10 feet is a game changer.
Just
half the time, they're 20, 30 feet when they chip the golf ball. And they're hitting how many greens of regulation average player?
5, 6, 7.
No, not even. 2,
right.
3.
That's right.
The guy who's a bogey golfer, he's hitting 2 or 3 greens in regulation. He's chipping a lot. So if you can help that person in a bunker and chip and pitch, you're going to help their players score
better. Yeah.
And then putting, you know, I think one of the things we miss about putting, we count the 3 putts. But we don't count the mental after the 3 putt, right? Like what I tell people all the time, I think live putting is crucial too.
Absolutely. Just like chipping.
Because, you know, if you can putt decently from 30 feet, 20 feet and get it in there where you got a chance to 2 putt, you're going to walk to the next tee with a way better attitude than if you 3-jack it. You're going to walk to that next tee and probably hit a bad shot because you're ticked off, right? So I think we can count the putts, but we can't count the mental side of missing putts. And what that affects people. So I think the quickest way to lower people's scores is help them with chipping, putting, bunker play, pitching around that.
I think it's absolutely imperative.
I've
seen so many players that I've worked with that got their ball struck, and they always tell me, I don't need to work on my chipping and putting, I'm good, Rob. Then I get them hitting the ball good, so now they're hitting way more greens, but they're 40 feet, 50 feet. So they're not chipping all the time. All of a sudden now they're 3 putt, and they go, damn, I can't putt.
That's a good putting.
Well, yeah, they weren't as good as they thought they were, just because
They
never hit the green.
Remember Hunter Johnson? He spent some time with Hunter, right? So I spent some time with Hunter, and he used to think he was a great putter. And I'm like, he didn't hit enough greens. He started hitting more greens, and he started realizing he wasn't a great putter.
Right.
And then he had to learn how to putt, which I think it's interesting, right?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming and being a part of what we do for LeVonner Children's Hospital to raise money for a great cause, and honored to have you both. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you, because it's like, this is one of the highlights of my summer, to come here and be around guys like Chuck, and all these guys are phenomenal teachers, and we get together and finally we're doing something.
Yeah.
Get the word out.
Get the word out.
Yeah. It's good.
Well, thanks for coming.